The Desert Healthcare District and Foundation presents a podcast that supports your health and wellness where you live. This is Healthy Desert, Healthy You, hosted by Will Dean. Now, here's Will.
Hello, friends. Welcome to the latest episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You, the podcast. Today, we are talking about a very important topic and hopefully learning about, that is HIV and aging. And our guest today is Jax Kelly, who is the founder, president, and CEO of the Aging and HIV Institute. Welcome, Jax.
Hi, Will. It's great to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. I know that you've been involved in the community for many years, but I wasn't as aware of the Institute. So tell me about the origin of that, when you started it, and what moved you to create it.
Yeah. First of all, thank you for inviting me here. I'm so grateful to be part of the Palm Springs community. I've been in Southern California now for over 25 years, and the last 12 years or so, I've been in Palm Springs. So it's been a really great experience. And the Aging and HIV Institute came from my realization when I was 44 and I was diagnosed with HIV, that people who were around that age were going to, first of all, we had ARTs, the medications that are keeping us alive. So the possibilities that we were going to grow old were great. And also the demographic data showed that at a certain point, the population of people who were living with HIV was the majority of them was going to be over the age of 50. And so it was pretty clear that there was something that needed to be done about people who were aging with HIV. And my experience had been mostly in the HIV services world. And for years, I'd been advocating for an attention, some kind of a thing that would actually focus on aging. And to some extent, we were able to do that. But because of limited state and federal budgets, there really couldn't be that much attention to it. And then a couple of years ago, at the tender age of 60, I got my MPH from USC. And as I was studying health policy, health services and policy, I learned about the Older Americans Act. And so since Lyndon Johnson, there's been this law nationally that addresses older people, providing services like transportation, Meals on Wheels. So all of those things were things that we wanted in the HIV services world. And instead of reinventing them there, it just made more sense to let's work within the aging services world. But what I learned when I started immersing myself in the aging services world is that it's not that they were not inclusive of people who are HIV positive. It's just that they had no experience. Right. Because since Lyndon B. Johnson, it's been almost, that's a lot of years, but it's only been 40 years that we've had HIV/AIDS. It takes a while for that to happen, that kind of integration into the aging services. So to make my long story shorter, the Aging and HIV Institute was really to bridge the gap between the two, the aging services and HIV services, mm-hmm. and also to raise more awareness in aging services about people who are aging with HIV.
You mentioned that we've been aware of HIV for about 40 years, and I recall that it was really slow going in the beginning in terms of just having it acknowledged that it existed, mm-hmm. and then the medications came, and by the time that you were diagnosed, you realized that there's a possibility, a very real possibility, that people could live a long time, a long, full life with HIV.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, how has the perception about HIV changed in recent years? Because it seems like it doesn't get as much attention as it used to.
Yeah, so that's on so many different levels. Just the attention that it gets, I think, might be because we're doing so well on our medications.
Right.
We're dying of things like cardiac or bad hearts or diabetes or the things that most older people die of. And it's not so much having to do with our HIV diagnoses. that's changed. So people kind of, it goes under the radar in some respects. But the other part of it is that I think some people, as a population gets older, the younger folks need to be re-educated. And I don't think there's a lot of really good education going on in the schools or in our colleges about HIV, but we still have new infections among younger people. And in fact, we still have new infections among older people as well.
To what do you attribute that?
One of the good things that happened because of the fact that the medications have, for example, myself, I've been on medications now for 20 years. So I could not transmit HIV to somebody else because my viral load in my blood is undetectable.
Okay.
When you have a lot of people like me who are HIV positive with undetectable levels of virus in our blood, that means the opportunities for the virus to spread are diminished. And if several years ago, we were all like on the idea that the more people who brought their viral load to zero, the less likely new infections would happen. And that's still true. And in some foreign countries that have brought the number of people who have a zero viral load to 95% of their population, and that's possible to do, it just hasn't happened here in the United States, then the infection rates go way down. So one of the things we have to do is to increase the number of people who have an undetectable viral load in this country. And then the other thing is to do more education, more prevention work.
Absolutely. So I want to get to, you were mentioning the Older Americans Act state plan, California. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I know that you've been involved with that, as you mentioned. What does that plan actually do? What is it proposed to do for older people?
This is part of the Greater Older Americans Act, what I was referring to since Lyndon Johnson.
Right.
So the states who have signed on to this, all the 50 states have passed their own version of an Older Americans Act, which very much mimics what the federal government had proposed, okay?
Okay.
And it's really, and the reason why they did that is because it's a vehicle for receiving federal aid to run the Meals on Wheels program, to run the transportation program, to run those programs that are part of the Older Americans Act. So the state plan really is just the state reporting back to the federal government what they intend to do with the federal dollars.
And what has the reception been to your wanting or advocating for the inclusion of older people with HIV?
I think generally it's been very positive. California is the second state in the country, and maybe there's only two. I don't know if a third one has popped up, but only the second state in the country that had amended its version of the Older Americans Act to include people who are HIV positive as a population of greatest social need. So that actually gives us the ability and gave my organization, the Aging and HIV Institute, the platform to do the advocacy work that we did in last summer to remind the state of California when they were doing their state plan that you can't exclude HIV in your state plan because it's one of our populations of greatest social need. So you need to put that in the plan. And so it wasn't that, I don't know what was the thinking behind it initially when they drafted the state plan.
Right.
But for me as an advocate, it was shocking. And they left out LGBT too. And I had worked with the state in the last couple of years on their first ever survey of LGBTQ older adults. And it's, don't you want to brag about that? It's, here's your opportunity and say what you expect to get out of it. I think that in the advocacy work that we did, getting people, our partners in the advocacy community and getting people who are HIV positive as well as LGBTQ older adults to write in and to be part of the public comment probably moved the needle, so to speak.
So when you mention or talk about social need, that refers to things like isolation, those feelings around that, and how people are affected by it, or what are the
Ooh,
other
that's
social?
A, That's a good legal question, okay? Because the thing is, when we talk about greatest social need, and I think that's what you're referring to, right? So in the Older Americans Act, there's two different things. There's greatest social need, and then there's greatest economic need. Social need is probably the one that catches everything else, like equity issues, whereas it wouldn't be readily clear that HIV positive people are in greatest economic need. But it's certainly as a group that experiences a lot of stigma and discrimination. There's still some states that criminalize HIV. The case for it to be of greatest social need is probably indisputable.
I imagine there's a role for Coachella Valley nonprofits and agencies to have, for lack of a better word, to supplement what the plan does or to support the plan. What are some of those needs that...
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, because the master plan for aging was created back in 2021. And it's supposed to acknowledge the fact, it does acknowledge the fact that by the year 2030, one out of four Californians is going to be over the age of 60. Looking at that demographic, it highlighted the need for the state to start really examining what does it mean to be an older adult in the state of California and how were we going to address it. And to do it across the map, I think some other states who followed California have actually just limited it to their Department of Aging. Whereas here in California, we're like saying, okay, let's get behavioral services, let's get transportation, let's get all these other departments that are involved in California that impact the lives of older adults and get their input and get people talking about it on the state level. And now we're also doing it on the county level. There's an Inland Empire Master Plan on Aging that includes the Riverside and San Bernardino County. And they've been meeting for about 2 years, and there's committees that are dedicated to different parts of the Inland Empire's master plan for aging. But, for example, the health districts could always get involved, if not directly with any of those planning bodies. But you're going to do listening sessions.
Community listening sessions about our strategic plan.
So this is an opportunity not only for people who are working on the master plan like me, to actually engage the health districts on what's going on with the master plan for aging. But it also is a way to maybe look at older adults as a population that you would like to include in your listening sessions, or to include HIV positive people, or include LGBTQ people, and maybe go to those places where you can find them, or partner with organizations that directly talk to those populations and say, okay, what is it that you really need? And then report back, because that's really the difficult thing, right? When we were doing the LGBTQ older adult survey, we had a really good response from Riverside County. And that was important because we could look at the data and say, this is what our population needs. But you could do that. The Desert Healthcare District, for example, probably has a better relation than the state of California does and is more grassroots. We tried our best to reach relevant groups and partners, but you've been doing that for years. So it's probably a lot easier.
Especially here in the Coachella Valley. Mm-hmm. And I just want to let our listeners know the community listening sessions you refer to will take place in February 2026. And you can find the dates and locations on our website, dhcd.org. I'm interested in the NIMPIRE plan that you mentioned. Where is that? Is there actually a plan in existence, or it's being worked on?
There is a website, which I will make sure that you have the address for, and you can put into your website. But it's a couple of years ago, there was a request for proposals that were sent out to communities throughout the state of California to be able to bring the master plan for aging on the state level down to the community level. And the plan that was put in place for the Inland Empire was supposed to be representative of Riverside and San Bernardino counties. One of the immediate goals of this group was to make sure that we qualified as a community for a program that ARP has been doing for a number of years, which is saying that we're a senior-friendly community. Oddly enough, the state of California was way behind some other states. So this was a great way to bring it down to the county level. Since then, I think there's been some cities and other communities, smaller communities, that are actually also engaged with this AARP program. And that's a great way to get your community starting. And one of the funny things I think about when I think about living in Palm Springs is that I serve on the Riverside County Council on Aging. So that we're on the county level.
Right.
But I'm like thinking, is there like a Department of Aging for Palm Springs? I don't think so. Or please email me if you find one. But that would be interesting. Maybe I was having a conversation with somebody else, a community leader, recently and saying, maybe it's because there's so many of us, from our leaders to our community members who are already over the age of 50, to actually engage on that level. We feel like we're doing it, but oftentimes we're not talking about some of these issues like isolation and loneliness or being connected to people or being connected to services that we might need.
And what I've found through my work with the healthcare district is often people are addressing things in silos mm-hmm. and not talking to one another. And what you said about the Inland Empire Plan, I've also learned that the Coachella Valley is very different from the rest of Riverside County. So it really is important to focus a lot of these issues on our community geographically.
Right, so, right. Which is exactly what the Desert Healthcare District was set up to do.
Absolutely. What are some ways that older people with HIV or older LGBTQ plus people can self-advocate or advocate for themselves in terms of aging and making sure that they have what they need?
It depends. People connect in different ways. I think I was at an aging conference and there was an older black woman who was talking about how she wishes that there was a handbook for aging and that she could just, whatever the category was in her mind, right. she could look it up. But then she went on to say that she had become a member of a community service center. And whenever she was like thinking about, I need to get access to this or I need to get access to that, she would talk to her colleagues and they usually had the solution. So I was like sitting here thinking, the answer then is community. Just make sure you're engaged. But do you know at the end of her conversation, she still wanted that handbook.
All right, so yeah. You can hold, something is right there for you to, yeah, I get it. I love that. I want to go back to the medical advances in HIV. I know there's a lot that's underway still. Are there particular advances or things coming up, trials that you are particularly excited about?
Yeah. I don't follow the cure community that well, but there's some exciting developments in cure research. Mm-hmm. There's always been some things that have been interesting in terms of getting better medications for the chronic conditions as well. But right now, we've got so many battles that are going on right now. One of the big battles I think is coming up is one where there's a medication that actually was developed from a kind of an iteration from an earlier medication. But this newer medication is better for your kidney system. And so as we age, I don't want anything to give out that is unnecessary to give out. So right. I could actually use the old medication and still monitor my kidneys. But if I know that this new medication is good for my kidneys, then I want that one.
Exactly.
But it's expensive. And we're in a position now where the government is getting to say, we don't want to pay for certain things when there's cheaper alternatives. But if the alternative is cheaper, but it's less effective, not necessarily less effective because it will help with my HIV, but if it causes other problems, then why would I want to take that? So that's the battles that I'm preparing for. If a cure comes along, God bless. If we get a better medication that helps me manage my HIV, I think that's wonderful as well, too. Or if we, God bless, get a vaccine, right? so that we can make sure that nobody else gets HIV. That would be wonderful as well.
It's being worked on. Where can listeners and viewers learn more about the Institute?
Our address is agingandhiv.org, and they can reach me there. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that people have.
Jax, thank you for being on the podcast and all that you're doing for our community.
Thank you.
Be well, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Healthy Desert, Healthy You. This podcast is a production of the Desert Healthcare District and Foundation in Palm Springs, California. For more information, please visit the website dhcd.org. Our annual conference site is healthydeserthealthyyou.com. This podcast is available at most major podcast portals, including Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, Captivate.fm, Spotify, and YouTube Music. Thanks for listening. Be sure to subscribe.